retired Air Vice Marshal Greg Evans knows a lot about the history of the Herx and joins us this morning. Greg, good of you to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us, when did we first get Hercules?
Well, we got the very first model, the A model, in 1958, and we, Australia, were the very first export customer. Mm. We were the first foreign air force to buy the Hercules, and it was a bit of a controversial buy at the time because they were a big, advanced, brand new United States Air Force transport, and it was quite a brave move to go and buy them, and been vindicated by events since, of course.
Mm, indeed. So that was the A model. How many models are there?
There's been almost too many to count, but the major variants were the A model, which we operated. There were quite a few B models built, and then the E model was the most numerous by far. Enormous numbers of those were operated by the United States Air Force and air forces around the world.
Mm,
mm. The H model is the ones we're retiring today.
Right.
We operated A's, E's, H's and J's. The J is a modern, highly computerised variant of the aeroplane. If an old H model pilot like me gets on the flight deck, we don't even know where to start.
Clueless.
It seems to revolve around television or something. It's very Gen Y. We don't get it.
Yeah, no, don't go there, Greg. Life's too short.
the A, E, and H were quite similar in a lot of ways, in that we had a traditional flight engineer who sat between the two pilots and mm-hmm. operated all the aircraft systems, and he had an extensive panel over our heads, and it was a very wonderfully close-knit team of people who your hands would go somewhere to do something and there'd be two other sets of hands backing you up. You know,
wow.
It was just a wonderful team effort operating the old girls. They were glorious things to fly. Wow. I think they might have been some sort of cross between a glamorous old T-clipper, a sailing clipper, and a steam engine.
Oh, what a wonderful image.
Things, just glorious.
So
it was really something when you were perched up there in the left seat of a Hercules. It was great.
So why are we retiring the H's?
Well, it's fundamentally an economic question. They're now 34 years old, 35 next year, and aircraft have a definite economic life. And I personally think they'd have been kept on for quite some time, but we're living in fairly constrained economic times inside defence at the moment. There's been a very big budget cut recently of $5 billion, and I think I'm not inside it anymore. I'm no longer serving, but
sure.
I think really the chief of the Air Force was forced into making some pretty hard decisions.
Mm.
Retiring this model of the aircraft was one of those decisions.
And does the J then replace the Hercules?
Well, the J has been serving now, believe it or not, for 13 years or
so. Oh, right.
And it replaced the earlier E model aircraft. And those J's and the H's have served alongside each other for 13 years.
Mm.
Now, the H's will be effectively retired, but not directly replaced by anything. But you've got to remember that over the last 6 or 7 years or so, we've also bought in the C-17, which
right.
is based in Amberley. So the way in which we do the airlift game has changed quite dramatically,
okay.
and the C-17's been a complete game changer.
Mm.
It's big, it's very fast, it's enormously capable. It flies out of Australia, can refuel once and land right in the forward airstrips in Afghanistan.
Mm.
It's just a new way of doing the business. And as much as I hate to admit it, I've got to admit that the modern ways are much more effective. And I guess people like me and aeroplanes like the H model have had our day.
It's and a fine day it has been as well, Greg, I have to say.
Day. We had a wonderful time flying them.
And so the retired Air Vice Marshal Greg Evans is with us talking about the Hercules, which some of you may, if you're at Richmond Way, they'll be taking off around about now, these two that are doing a little bit of a farewell around, all around Sydney. When I got on one once, it was to go to Vanuatu for a South Pacific Forum meeting, and it was something to do with the length of the airstrip or the landing space or something. Is that their great advantage, the Herc?
They've got several great advantages. They're enormously robust and they can operate away from support on the ground. You
mm-hmm.
can just pull it up anywhere, park it, close it all up and walk back in the morning and start it all up again. And it's very difficult to do that with most large aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
They can operate into very short airfields, down to about 3,000 feet. And even more importantly, they can operate into airfields with poor surfaces. We used to fly them in and out of gravel strips all over the Southwest Pacific and New Guinea without any trouble at all. They were designed to do that right back in the late 40s, early 50s, and they're still one of the best in the world for doing it.
Mm.
So it's a combination of access to short and marginal airfields and the capacity to move large loads into remote and poorly serviced places.
Right, right. I just want to quickly ask you one. I can hear your phone going in the background, but if you've still got a sec there.
Yeah,
Greg. I can't imagine why. Tony on the text is making a quite valid point. I think Hercules were used as gunships and to spread Agent Orange in Vietnam. He says, don't hide the ugly side of this military aircraft.
Yeah, half correct. They were used as gunships by the US military, but they were never used for Agent Orange. Okay. 123 providers did that.
Okay, okay. Okay, well, you'll be waving goodbye then today, I assume.
Yes, I certainly will. I'm on my way out there right now.
Oh, good on you. Thanks for talking to us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.